This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And good morning, Bob. It's a beautiful Saturday, and welcome to The Gardening Show, and thank you so much for being with us again for another week.
Good morning, Dan.
You want to talk about apples today.
Yes.
And what makes today a good day? September, I guess, is apple month?
Yeah,
is that when apples start to become delicious on the tree and you can start eating them?
Yes, most of them, yep.
Okay.
And because growing your own fruit has become so popular, and in Bradford, an apple tree is one of the easier of the fruit trees to grow.
Oh, okay.
So I want to start out talking about the story of Johnny Appleseed, also John Chapman, and it's a true story. He left Longmeadow, Massachusetts in 1797 at the age of 23. Then in about 1801, from western Pennsylvania to Ohio, and eventually on to Indiana, where he finished his life. He set out in two hollowed-out logs down the rivers, but not like everyone else. Instead of towing one canoe behind the other, he lashed the two together. You'll see that he just did everything different. He would return to Allegheny County, Pennsylvania every fall to collect seeds. We don't know how many bushels of seeds he put in his hollowed-out log, but we do know that each bushel would hold about 300,000 seeds. But some of his seeds came from Europe, like the dandelion and the stinging nettle. He likened himself to a bumblebee, a man with no fixed address his entire adult life. One year his home was a hollowed-out sycamore stump just outside of a town called Defiance, Ohio, where he operated a pair of nurseries. He wanted to get out ahead of the settlers moving west. He would plant a nursery on a tract of wilderness he judged ripe for settlement, and then he would wait for them to come. When they arrived, his plants were ready for sale. For 6.5 cents apiece, he would then hire a boy to look after his plants and move on west looking for the next ripe tract of land for settlement. By 1830, he had nurseries from Pennsylvania to Ohio to Indiana. He was a very wealthy man. He died in 1845 in Fort Wayne, Indiana, wearing just a coffee sack. He was very successful, like a real estate developer. He was willing to move his operation out ahead of the settlers, then wait for them to come to him. Everyone knows his name was John Chapman, or they called him Johnny Appleseed.
He was wearing a what now?
Coffee sack.
Why? He was rich.
Yeah, he was, well, he was rich in property.
Oh.
He didn't have much cash. He was kind of an odd fellow.
Yeah, sounds like it. Living in trees and wearing...
And it was said, you know, that he wouldn't step on a worm or a bug. He protected all of nature. He had a different religion. He was a Swedenborgian religion, which is a nature-based religion. And so he really didn't have need for cash and belongings. So that explains some of him.
And what age was he when he passed?
It was an 18.
Yeah.
You're going to make me add?
Well.
He must have been close to 50.
Okay, yeah.
And they do have his grave site out there, and it's pretty amazing to see with some apple trees planted, and it's all fenced in and draws people from all over the world there, and they have a big apple festival there at the cemetery.
So if it wasn't for Johnny Appleseed, is it safe to say the apple will not be as popular as it is today?
No, it would have became popular anyhow.
So his life was pointless, you're saying?
No, oh. No. Right, no.
That's a great story, Bob. That's a great story. And every year we hear it. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But I want to talk a little bit more about it.
All right.
So the earliest settlers in America brought grafted old world apples, see, before Johnny, long before Johnny. And they found that they did not fare well in our harsh winters. Most were killed off by the first year. Others lost their blossoms with late spring frost. But some settlers also planted the seeds that they had saved from their boat trips across the Atlantic. And some of these seeds survived, and they were called pippins. Then the honeybees were imported. The apple tree is not from America, and the honeybee is not from America.
Blasphemous. No, that can't be true.
So after the honeybees were imported, these seed trees started to produce very well. In 1801, you could buy apple trees in Marietta, Ohio, grafted apple trees grown in a nursery by Rufus Putnam, grafted from the best seed trees from colonial New England. Some of those trees in New England are just amazing. I got to visit an island there once where some of those trees were over 300 years old and still producing. Pretty amazing to see some of them so big and heavy that they've bent over, touched the ground, rerooted, and grew up, but still the mother tree still remains. Rufus's trees were very expensive, and settlers didn't need apple trees to eat. They needed them to drink. Cider was the drink of choice in America.
You know, I just actually had apple juice this morning, Bob.
Hey, good for you.
All right.
Yeah, that's a good old American tradition. A lot of people don't realize when we first came to America, you know, a lot of the water wasn't really fit to drink. Our bodies just weren't used to it. So we had to find something to drink. And of course, we wanted to be different than the rest of the world. We didn't want wine or beer. So we came up with our own drink, and that became cider. And with no refrigeration, of course, all cider became hard. And I'll explain that a little bit more in a little bit here. But note, there was a land grant in the Northwest Territory. Now, the Northwest Territory, you know, being Ohio and beyond, even parts of Western Pennsylvania at that time, required for someone to claim a piece of property by the government, they had to plant 50 apple trees. And that told the government they were going to remain there and care for that property for a long period of time. Because once you planted an apple tree at that time, it may be a decade or two before you would be able to produce your first apples then. And that made the apple tree so popular. I want to go back now and talk about where did the apple first start out. It appears the ancestor of the apple, the Malus domestica, came from the wild apple, Malus sieversii, the dominant species in the mountain forests of Kazakhstan, some growing over 60 feet tall, 300 years old, some only 1 foot tall, and the fruits were of every color and size and flavor that you can just imagine. Some tasted like bananas, some tasted like apples, some tasted like plums. There was every kind of flavor and color you can imagine. And then along the Silk Route, which passed through the Hezhuang Mountains of the Sichuan Province in China, where crab apples had been grown for 10,000 years. We know this because the glaciers never scraped away the plant material in that area because of how the mountains are shaped and face for over 10,000 years. Travelers on the Silk Route would likely have picked an apple at one location, dropped the seeds at the next where they would sprout, grow, flower, and crossbreed with related species, adding to the apple's gene pool. You can cut an apple right through its equator, and you'll have five small chambers arrayed in a perfectly symmetrical starburst. Each chamber holds a seed, and each has a small amount of cyanide, probably a defense mechanism, in that seed. The apples don't come true from the seed. There's a term for it called heterozygosity. It's a botanical term for variability, just like humans. No offspring is just like its parent.
There's not going to be a pop quiz on this, is
oh,
there?
Yeah, there is.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah,
I wasn't taking notes.
Just like its parents, which accounts for its ability to thrive from New England to New Zealand to Kazakhstan to California to China, just about everywhere on Earth, you can grow an apple tree because of its huge gene pool. At one time, too, the identification of apples with health and wholesome, and that's a modern invention, a public relations campaign in the early 1900s, because the Women's Christian Temperance Union had declared war on the apple, and their slogan was "Carry Nation's Hatchet." It was meant to chop down saloon doors and apple trees, because, like I said, no refrigeration back then, so all apple juice became hard cider. Everyone was drinking it, and of course, everyone was a little drunk, maybe, and the women were just getting a little tired of it. So now I want to talk about some of the great apple stories and finds, which I can always remember. I got to tell a little side story. When I was a little kid growing up, my grandfather up at Lakeview, New York, had a big piece of property that he farmed. In the back of the property was some old apple orchards. Forest had grown up around them. They were abandoned, but they probably dated back to the very beginning of that area. So Grandpa would always tell us, when you boys are back there in the woods and you find a good apple, remember what tree it came from and let me know. Because back at that time, this is the early 50s, a lot of people were looking for that next great apple find to become a wealthy person. So in the 1700s, America's first commercial apple, a surveyor stumbled upon a Baldwin growing in a canal in Boston. And then another farmer who noticed the neighborhood boys each winter were drawn to the falls around a certain apple tree that turned out to become the York Imperial, the king of keepers. And a stubborn seedling that kept coming up between the rows of Jesse Hyatt's orchard in Peru, Iowa. He would mow it down every year until the Quaker farmer decided it must be a sign. So he let it grow in fruit, and he discovered its apples were the best he had ever tasted. Jesse Hyatt named it the Hawkeye. Then in 1893, Jesse mailed four to a contest at the Stark Brothers Nurseries in Louisiana, Missouri. And the Stark Brothers awarded the Hawkeye first prize and the new name, Delicious. So that's a couple apple stories that Delicious, which would become the world's most popular apple. The original Golden Delicious lived from 1914 into the 1950s inside a steel-paddocked cage, a publicity stunt by Paul Stark, who bought the apple tree for $5,000 in 1914, which was would have been a huge sum of money.
It's like $100 million in today's money.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Well, it's still a lot of money.
That spurred everyone on to search their orchards for the next great find and become rich like the farmer that sold his and was put into a paddock, a steel paddock. There was an orchard on the bank of the Seneca Lake. There is an orchard on the banks of the Seneca Lake in Geneva, New York, run by a government outfit called the Plant Genetic Resource Unit. And they maintain the world's largest collection of apple trees. When I wrote this, it was around 2,500, but it's much, much higher. It's closer to 4,000 different apples, varieties, collected from all over the world. And it's like a seed bank. So if there is a problem with the apples someday, that possibly the government will be able to redisperse the apple seeds and bring that back, because it is an extremely important crop, not only for us, but for the pollinators too. So that's my story.
Oh, you just abruptly cut off. All right. Well, just because I put a little note, we have to take a commercial break, but if you have more story, we could get to it next.
Okay.
Or are we going to move on to a different topic?
Maybe we'll talk about it a little bit more.
I know you had some more. We'll be right back in 30 seconds more with Master Gardener Bob Harris and the fascinating story of apples. Continues right here on B107.5.
Get your summertime projects finished and get ready for fall at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford. Pressure-treated lumber is finally back in stock for your building projects, and you'll find plenty of driveway sealer while there's still time to get that project done. Carhartt apparel for fall has just arrived, as well as a full line of fire retardant gear. See their nice supply of decorative fall flags and stock up now on your canning jars while they last. Summer to fall, you'll find it all at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
Welcome back to The Gardening Show with Master Gardener Bob Harris right here on B107.5, and we're talking all things apples today, and of course, anything that you'd like to talk about as well at 814-368-9372, or send us a message on Facebook Live.
Oh, okay. So
that's your cue,
yeah,
Bob.
That's my cue, isn't it? I just woke up. A couple more things about the apple. You know, a lot of people think, well, I got a Macintosh apple, I'll save the seeds, and I'll get Macintosh apples. Remember, I talked about the heterozygosity of their gene pool.
Right, the pop quiz with the pronunciation and the scientific names. Right.
There's only a 1 in 80,000 chance that if you plant a Macintosh apple seed, that you'll get on a Macintosh apple tree.
That good, huh?
Yep. That good, yeah. So it's pretty much worthless to do that. But, you know, there is a possibility you'll come up with the next great apple, too. So, geez, I lost my train of thought there because I got off track.
That's because you're not eating enough apples, Bob.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But apple tree, again, is one of the better fruit trees to grow in this area. It's a highly hardy. Most apple trees are what we call grafted now. That means they've put the top part of the plant, they've joined it to the root section of another type of apple tree, which is more able to survive our conditions, our soil, and they've been able to do it so well that now we can grow apple trees here with a great deal of success, even if there is an early frost in the fall or a late frost in the spring. We still can produce apples, which brings me, and I think I mentioned this one other time, most amazing thing I saw a couple weeks ago, first time I had ever seen this that I remember. I was over in Smithport, and a friend of mine told me, you got to see this, Bob. This was just a month ago. Said, there's an apple tree that's in bloom. And I said, that's impossible, you know. So he took me right to the apple tree. And there's apples growing on it, ripening, and there are blossoms on it. And for the longest time, I just stood there confused. And what I can guess happened was certain caterpillars, like the gypsy moth, ate all the foliage off the tree. And of course, that shocked the tree. So all plants, like the apple tree, their whole life depends on growing, flowering, producing a fruit to pass on their genes to the next generation. Now, this must have bothered the tree enough that it decided, I must flower again because I lost all my foliage. I must flower again to produce that next generation. And it was an older tree, so it knew it was that getting towards the end of its life, too. So that's my guess of what happened with that. And it can happen for other reasons, too. Different stresses, weather conditions can affect the tree and cause it to flower again. Sometimes we even see our rhododendrons do a second little bloom here because of environmental conditions, whether it be water, insect, pest, something like that can shock it. Because, again, most plants, they must flower to keep to pass that gene on.
Let me ask you if there's any, my neighbor used to have a crab apple tree where I used to grow up in Ohio.
Uh-huh.
Are there any benefits to crab apple trees? Because to me, it seemed like it just attracted wasps and bees and stuff.
Oh, no, there's a lot of people like to make crab apple jams and jellies and pies. It's very useful, but it's more useful for nature because it does support the wild pollinating population, the wild bees, and the wildlife, the birds, the deer, they all like that tree.
Yeah. Well, I was in a neighborhood like outside of Cleveland. It was quite populated and no deer or anything like that. So,
oh yeah. It's one of the most popular ornamental trees also, the crab apple, because it does bloom very well and then produces a small fruit that isn't really a problem, you know. And those fruits can become very colorful and even take you right on through the winter. So it is a popular ornamental tree because it's a four-season tree.
Maybe I just have bad memories of it because the punk kid a couple doors down would go into the backyard and pick up the crab apples and for like an hour throw them and bash them against the garage.
Oh, geez.
Just yeah. Explode them. So there'd be bees everywhere.
Yeah, there would be. Yeah.
Moral of the story, hey, parents, pay attention to what your brat's doing.
So that reminds me that the crab apple is from America. Some of the crab apples. The apple tree is not. But we do consider, you know, the apple tree as American now.
As American as apple pie, as
they say. That's right, yeah.
That's right. We have about 8 minutes left in the show.
I might as well continue on about
sure.
Apple trees.
Mm-hmm.
I'll talk about planting them. First of all, you always want to plant most trees a little bit high in good drained soil area because the wetness will eventually bother them. If you're going to plant an apple tree, dig the hole twice to three times as wide as the root ball, but not as deep. Most professionals now do it this way so that when you do plant the tree, a little bit of it, an inch or two, is sticking right out of the ground, because the next step is you're going to mulch there that 1 to 2 inches, and that's going to cover the root ball completely. But that also ensures that the roots, because they have been grown in a pot or nursery where they're balled and burlapped, a root ball, to where the soil is very aerated, and those plants are used to getting a lot of air. That air is so important. They need air just as much as they need water. So if you keep it a little bit high, you're assured that the root system will get plenty of oxygen that it needs.
All right. Let's go to the phones here, 368-9372, to get a hold of us at the Gardening Show. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Talking about that apple tree with all the blossoms, I got an old crab apple tree in the yard. And last year it had an overabundance of crab apples on it. This year it just had a few, which is the normal occurrence for fruit trees. But all the leaves fell off of it about a month ago. And yesterday when I was mowing, there's blossoms on the tree.
Yeah. And that could be for a lot of reasons, too. Not only the caterpillars eating it off, but apple trees are susceptible to a fungus that could very easily occur this year because it's been so wet and warm. And, of course, that fungus has made the tree shed all its leaves. So, again, that may have shocked it into saying, well, I got to start over.
Yeah, there's buds for new leaves and stuff, but this tree is really, really old because it was old when I was little, and I'm over 75. So the tree has got signs of the dying process where the branches start growing out of the ground around the base. Up along the trunk, it's starting to grow new growth, and that's usually a sign that the tree is trying its best to stay alive. I just thought I'd let you know there's other trees around that having the same situation.
Oh yeah, that's pretty neat. Yeah, just amazing. I'd never seen it before.
Yeah, I never have either, but it does happen, I guess.
Yeah,
I enjoy you on the radio. Too bad that it comes to an end every fall.
Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. Yeah, Bob, what the heck? Why do you have to abandon us? Abandon us.
That brings me to another point, though. He was talking about those sprouts coming up from the base of the tree.
So that's a sign that it's struggling, or?
That most of the time it is. Mm. And we call them epicromic shoots, which can possibly mean that the tree is under stress, so it's doing everything it can to either reproduce a new tree or to produce enough foliage to help itself. Now, most of the time, and we trim them off as soon as you see them, trim them off as close to the trunk as you possibly can, or as close to the trunk as you possibly can. But also note that they are giving us a sign that the tree is under stress. Now, it can be from a lot of different things. Can be from too dry, too wet, insect attacks, fungal underground root attacks. So it can be a lot of reasons. So just be prepared when you do see those epicromic shoots, water sprouts or suckers, whatever you want to call them, that does mean that the tree is under stress.
So go and take a closer look and see if you can help it out?
Yes, indeed.
How do you cure it of, you know, certain different ailments that it might be suffering from? Fungus? Is there, like, you put powder on it or medicine, or how do you fix a tree?
Yeah, most of the time there are fungicides that will help. It won't cure it, but it will help slow down the fungus to the point where the tree can survive. Or if you think it's a fungus attack, maybe you can cut off those parts where it's most evident, so it can't spread throughout the rest of the tree. Now, if it's a root fungus, that's going to make it near impossible. Mm. But if it is a root fungus that you've narrowed it down to, then possibly it's an area that doesn't drain well enough, and maybe it's time to think about putting in a drainage system or
planting a new tree in a better spot.
Yeah. A lot of times, if a tree's starting to fail, and I know a lot of people will say, well, just let it go for as long as it can. But in my world, if I see a tree is starting to fail and I can't fix it, then right away is the time to get rid of it and start a new one. because it takes years and years to get a good established tree.
That was going to be my next question. How long does it take from like a little baby tree to start producing, to become an adult and start producing fruit?
In the apple world, it's a short time. It used to take, when I was a kid, if you planted an apple tree, it was going to be 25 years before you picked an apple. Now, you can buy an apple tree, say 4 or 5 foot tall. It's going to start producing apples that year.
Whoa.
Right away.
Wow.
Yeah, they have it down to a science so that they will start producing right away.
How much are those usually about? Is it like
$40, $50 for a small apple tree?
No kidding.
Yeah.
For the 4 or 5 foot one you're talking about.
Yeah, very inexpensive, very easy to plant, very easy to care for. There is going to take some pruning. Not the first couple years. You just let it grow. But then eventually you're going to have to start pruning it so that when it does produce those apples, it doesn't drag those branches down and maybe break them or just make the whole tree out of shape. A couple things to look for when you are pruning an apple tree. Most apple trees produce off a stem we call a spur. And that will be a little tiny branch coming out at a right angle of the main branch. Not the trunk, the main branch. Not main branches. Might be five to seven branches coming off the main trunk. But those little spurs, they come out at a 90-degree angle. Those are where the blossom and the apple is going to occur. So don't trim them off. But do trim back the branches, especially any real thin ones. Once in a while, you get some that just get a lot of the auxin hormone and makes them grow faster than the rest. We want to trim them back so that they don't start producing the spurs that produces the apple that gets heavy and drags the branch down. So after a few years, apple trees will take a bit of pruning. And the best time to prune an apple is very late winter, early winter, when there's no foliage on it. There's a lot less chance to get diseases and funguses in that apple tree, which they can survive for quite a long time, even with a disease. Even though I said if I saw one that was getting destroyed by a disease, I would get rid of it and plant a new one.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But they can survive for decades even with a lot of fungus hollowed out, a lot of damage. They're a very, very hardy tree.
I didn't realize they were, A, so affordable with, already grown to 4 or 5. And then B, that, that you'd get fruit so quickly nowadays.
Yeah.
I think maybe that might be a fun little hobby.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh, it is.
I might look at that.
There's nothing like going out in your own yard and picking an apple off your own tree.
Do they like a lot of sun?
Yeah, lots of sun.
Okay, great.
Air circulation.
Okay.
That's important, too.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Bob.
Well, you're welcome.
Fascinating, the story of Johnny Appleseed and apples in America and the history. We will talk to you again soon, right here on The Gardening Show with Master Gardener Bob Harris on 1490 WESB and B107.5 FM.